This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Okay. As we just stand in this place, keep our eyes closed. Father, we come to you this morning. We stand in awe of your glory, Lord. We stand in awe of your power, of your might. Father, we thank you for the sacrifice. We thank you for dying for us on the cross, Lord. By your blood, we are saved. And thank you that the cross is our victory, that we can look to your victory every time. Father, I pray that as the service just continues, Lord, that we just continue to focus our hearts on you. Focus our hearts in this place of worship, Lord. Come remind us, Lord. Come stir in us a heart of worship in this place. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have your seats. Thank you. Woo! God is amazing. Amen. I've got some spare batteries here because I see there's a red light on this mic, but I'm going to continue until it dies. So for those of you that don't know me, my name is Hendrik Besaidenhout. I've met quite a few of you, but this is the first time I have the privilege of preaching in this church, my church, which I call home now. Me and my wife and I, Tabitha, not Tabitha Southernwood, Tabitha Besaidenhout, we serve in this church. We ministry assistants to Andries and Lisa and the team here and to you guys. We just operate in the calling of God and we go wherever he sends us. We love him so much. We had to move to this place, Hermanus. I mean, who would want to live here in Hermanus? We're from Malmesbury, by the way. That's a beautiful place. Who's been to Malmesbury? Oh, one person. Well done. Okay, so Malmesbury is an amazing place. And this is being recorded, so I have to say this, but I love those guys. I love my church there. They sent me here, and we are just so honored and so privileged just to serve the Lord in this place. But we are here now. Hermanus is a beautiful place. I think if there's one place on earth that is probably the closest to heaven, it has to be Hermanus. I mean, there's even a place here called Hemel Naarde. Come on, really. Okay, so Andries only gave me 2.5 hours to preach today, so I better get started. I'm only joking. It's going to be less. Yo, God just touches me in worship. He's amazing. And if you haven't caught that yet, I'm going to preach about something very dear to my heart, something very close to my heart. It's worship, when we worship. I got saved through worship. God saved me through worship. I was very fortunate. It was 8 years ago. It was quite radical, and I'm going to give you guys some background on it. I'm not going to tell the whole story now. It's going to be in little parts, but it was 8 years ago. Let me skip a bit before that even. My parents are here, so I said, "Hi, Ma," on the video. Now she's actually here. Hi, Ma. Very fortunate to have her here. So when I was small, when I was younger, growing up, I was introverted. I'm still an introvert, believe it or not. But I was extremely introverted. I was a severe introvert to the extent that I couldn't stand in front of people more than two people. Two people already freaked me out. If I was standing here, say 10 years ago, I would have a heart attack. You would have to carry me off the stage. I grew up like that. I had a tough time sometimes in public places. I was always reserved, always drawn to my room, always did my own thing, family gatherings, I always operated on my own. It was okay, I had an awesome childhood, don't get me wrong, I'm very fortunate. But as I grew older, it was difficult. I got married in 2008, and 2 years after my marriage is when I actually got saved. In the 2 years I was married to my wife, and we dated 2 years prior as well, so I knew her 4 years. I couldn't even play guitar in front of her. And by the way, just a side note, if I do this a lot, it's because I like to play guitar and I'm usually behind the guitar, so please forgive me. But I couldn't even play one chord in front of my wife. I couldn't sing. I would never sing in front of my wife. There's just no way. So we joined a church in Somerset West. And as we joined that church, and that's a whole story on its own, and I'll invite me for coffee. I'll tell you the story. I'll pay. But I'll tell you the story. But just to cut to where I want to start off today is, I've loved music my whole life. I've played guitar since I was small. And I'm very fortunate for that. God knew something. God predestined each and every one of us for our call. And as I got to that place in church where I finally started encountering more of the Lord, finally coming closer to the Lord, understanding His love for me, it felt like I put my life on the line when I joined the worship team. Well, actually, my wife forced me to. She grew up in church. She plays drums. She's not afraid of anything. She's a fierce lioness. And in any case, she got me in that band, and I was the lead guitarist, but I was supposed to stand at the back, the very back. So I don't know if you remember when the curtains were on the stage, I would be the guy that would stand like almost behind the curtain. You would like just see the head of the guitar, maybe now and then you'd see me. I was so afraid, but I love music. So I had to live it out somewhere. As it would happen, we were scheduled the youth band to play the evening service at a church. And as we got there, for some or other reason, the worship leader didn't pitch. He wasn't there that night, and we were stuck because we were supposed to have worship. We were supposed to lead the worship. And I was the only guy playing guitar. There wasn't another guitar. So who would be the guy to be called up first to play, to lead? It would be the guitarist. There wasn't even a piano player. It was drums, guitar, and a bass. And yeah, that was hectic. It was like, we have a few minutes to react. Church is going to start now. What are you going to do? So I strapped my guitar up, stepped to the mic in front, stand in front of the people, pretty much like I'm standing in front of you now. It's a little bit less people, small church in the Strand, but to me it looked like seven times bigger than this. And as I stood there, I was speechless. I felt my hand go like this. If you ever have suffered from severe, if you are an introvert and you're afraid to speak in front of people, and that was my nemesis in life, is speaking in front of people, then you'd know that feeling. It felt like my heart wanted to explode. I didn't want to be there, even to the extent that I felt like I want to walk away. So I'm sorry, but I'm going to leave the story there for now. I'm going to put it on pause. It's a cliffhanger. So now you have to listen to me today to listen to the rest of the story. So I want to start off by reading Psalm 95, verse 1 to 7. You got it up there. Come, let us sing for joy. For the Lord, let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. For the Lord is great, the great King above all kings. In His hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to Him. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. It's beautiful if you just read Psalms. I mean, Psalms, the whole book of Psalms, it's one of the most books in the Bible that are just, they're songs. If you don't know how to worship, just read Psalms. Put a little melody to it. You can make a song really quickly. David, I mean that guy. Yo, I would love to meet David one day. But when we worship, the essence of this verse is, and where I'm going to get with my testimony is, when we worship, mighty things happen. Mighty things happen. Worship is not just coming to church, sitting in the seats and singing songs, because that's part of church. We have to do that to get to the service. Worship is not just standing here, singing, being in key, doing what we need to do together. That is not worship. That is part of worship, but that is not full worship. When we worship, heaven responds. Worship is a call to heaven. Worship is not just something that we do. We stand here, we sing the songs, beautiful song, love it, next song, beautiful. Worship is a call. Worship is a connection to heaven. Worship is when the Holy Spirit in us gets stirred, when the Holy Spirit in us ignites, when the Holy Spirit in us ignites a fire under our hearts, when we reach out and we plug into heaven. When we plug into heaven, that power surges. There's a connection there. There is a mighty connection when we worship. Worship is not all la-di-da. It is part of that, yes. But it's more than that. It's way more than that. If we look at the very definition of worship, The Greek translation in the New Testament direct translation is proskuneo. I'm not too fond of Greek words. I have no idea why we always translate it. But it's beautiful because when you look at the ancient language, it actually just shows you the power that's in the word worship. It literally means to fall down before or to bow down before. I'm going to say that again. Worship is when we fall down before, when we bow down before. There's a beautiful lyric in a Hillsong song. I love Hillsong. I love a lot of Christian music. That's why I say I got saved through music. We can talk music all day long. But this song, as I got saved and my journey grew, the song is not very old, but the song, it has a lyric that says, "When I touch the sky when my knees hit the ground." It's, "I touch the sky when my knees hit the ground." That is profound. If we just think about it, if you have ever had that upper room encounter in worship, if you have ever completely just given over in worship, and you have been in that place where you are just filled with the Spirit and you're just surrendering to God, you find yourself face down or on your knees on the floor, you'd know what this means. If you fall on your knees, "I touch the sky when my knees hit the ground." If you've never had that worship encounter, you're probably thinking, "This guy's crazy. How can you touch the sky when your knees hit the ground?" If you read Psalm 95 verse 6 again, "Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." We have to ask ourselves this question. It's a hard question, but we have to. If God Himself would walk into this world all now, and it's just you, no one else, there where you are sitting, and I'm including myself in this example, there where you are sitting, if God would walk down the aisle and come stand right in front of you and look at you, what would your worship look like? What would the worship that we have, if we compared it to the worship we just had now, would it look the same? Would it change if you were standing right in front of us? And remember, God's not going to look at the way you outwardly worship. We outwardly worship, it's a small part of what worship really is. Worship is of our innermost being. God's going to look at your heart. He's not going to look at the way you stand. He's not going to look at the way you do this. He's going to look at your heart. Because worship is an overflow of the heart. What would it look like? The very nature of Christian worship is from the inside out. It's an outpouring of our heart. When we praise, praise is outwardly. I mean, man, we dance. We stand here. We sing. This morning, the band, by the way, they rock. They're amazing. God mightily used you guys. Amen? When we praise, it's outwardly. We clap hands. We let go completely. We lose it. We dance. We get lost. It's a form of worship, yes, but it's outwardly. Worship, in essence itself, it's from our innermost being. It's from our heart. It's when we connect to God. It's an outflow of what's going on in our heart. If we look at worship from the inside out, it has two equally important parts. And we all know this. We've read this. We've heard it many times. Worship, true worship, is in spirit and in truth. If we look at the case where Jesus talks to the Samaritan woman, in John 4, verse 23 to 24, it's the part where he asks her for a drink of water and he talks to her and he tells her stuff about her husbands that she realizes this is just not a normal human being. This is the Messiah she's talking about. This is God, Son, on earth incarnate. And he's here. And he says to her, "Yet at a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in the spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers that the Father seeks. God is spirit, and the worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth." Sure, I'm going to read that again. God is spirit, and His worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. What is spirit and truth worshiping? I think we all have an idea what spirit and truth worshiping is, and for some it's different than others. But in essence, it's spirit worship is worshiping God, as I said, not as much about our physical posture, but as our innermost being. It's an outflow of the heart. We cannot fully and truly worship God if we don't have a spirit in us. We cannot fully and truly worship God if we don't have that stirring, that fire in our hearts, that inner stirring of the Holy Spirit in our innermost beings. We must be born again. You must have Jesus in your heart to have that true connection of worship. It's the Holy Spirit in us who energizes our worship. It's the Holy Spirit in us that ignites that passion, that triggers that response of our minds where we connect to heaven, that we are at the place of total surrender. It's not us anymore. It's God. This is about Him. We're entering His presence now. That is true worship, worshiping in spirit. It's that connection, Holy Spirit to the heaven, the power that surges through that. And if we look at worshiping in truth, you see, to worship in truth, worshiping God in truth, is to have a Christ-centered mind focused totally on Him. It's the offering of our bodies as a living sacrifice. See, worshiping in truth, I mean, God knows all. You can try to hide stuff. We all know God knows everything. Worshiping in truth is about offering our bodies as a living sacrifice. As Paul writes in Romans 12, verse 1 to 2, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Again, a verse we've heard so many times, so often. Do we meditate on it? Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. Offering our bodies as a living sacrifice. Do we do that? In the Old Testament, they used to sacrifice animals. And you can read there where the ark is being carried in into the temple, in the Holy of Holies. They offer so many animals, oxen, and hoofed animals, the word says, that too many to count. But when the Holy Spirit comes down, and David writes about this in Psalms as well, is our worship is worth more sacrifice. That's more sacrifice to God. That is worth more to Him than the sacrifice of animal offerings. Luckily, we don't offer animals anymore. Luckily. We need to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. Our hearts, our minds, our innermost beings. When we look at worship, there are a few points that I just want to highlight. And there are many points. I mean, this can be a 10-part sermon preaching. We can just go on and on about worship. But this for me is just what I felt God laid on my heart to say today. For this church, for our church specifically, this family in Christ. And the first one is renew your mind. You see, we cannot worship God in spirit and in truth if we are continually being distracted. You see, distractions flood our mind. We stand in worship, and I'm talking about music worship now, yeah. This instance, but it can go for any worship because your life is worship. We know this. But when we stand here, we can't just sing to the Lord and pray, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the back of your mind, you're thinking, what am I going to make for dinner tonight? What am I going to say at that meeting tomorrow? Hallelujah, Jesus, Father. How am I going to afford this? How am I going to pay that? How am I going to do this? These are random examples. But that is not how we worship. We need to renew our minds. We need to come to a place of standstill, a place where we consecrate this space, this time we have with the Lord, this physical worship that we are going to give Him now. We need to give that to the Lord. If it takes from you just to stand still for a few seconds or a few minutes to bring out all the stuff that you know is going to hinder you, that's going to hinder your worship, that's going to block your worship, take that time. Give it to the Lord. Because when you worship, it needs to be fully 100% committed to God. Renewing our minds. We need to take our thoughts captive. As Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 6, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. This is hectic. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds, to demolish arguments and every pretension. It sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. We need to come to a place in worship where we stand in faith and we say, Lord, I'm going to take these thoughts captive now in Jesus' name. Your will be done. I'm going to worship you fully, 110% me worshiping you. I'm not going to think about anything else. I'm not going to be distracted. I'm not going to allow distractions to flood my mind. No, Lord, this worship is yours. This worship is yours fully. The second point I want to get at, and it's an outflow of the first point. Worship is warfare. As I said before, we do worship. We come, we stand here, we sing beautiful songs, beautiful lyrics. It's amazing. It stirs our hearts. It's part of it, yes. But it's more than that. It's deeper. Worship is warfare. Worship is hectic warfare. Who of you have been to a Freedom Weekend or an Encounter 4? Lift your hands. There are quite a few here. Just speak to those guys. Worship is warfare. You see, when we worship, the enemy is deeply angered. He is deeply, deeply angered. He's going to try and kill, steal, and destroy your plans for worship. He's going to try and disconnect you. He's not going to try and plug you out. He's going to try and cut the head of the plug out that you can't connect back in, because that's what he does. He's going to sow the seed of confusion. He's going to sow the seed of distraction. He's going to sow the seed of self-doubt. All those small little things he's going to whisper in your ear when you worship. He's going to try and get your attention off what true worship is. Are we going to take our thoughts captive? Are we going to allow the enemy to do that? No, we're not going to allow the enemy to do that. Because we, as Christians and Christian worship, we have a battle plan. Amen. Do you know what the battle plan is? A battle plan is the faith that we have in Christ. We look to the cross. The cross is our victory. This beautiful lyric in a song, and I love songs. I'm sorry if I'm going to say the word. I love songs a lot, but I do. There's a song that says, a cross meant to kill is my victory. Again, that's profound. A cross meant to kill is actually our victory. When the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy our worship, he tries to take away our worship. He tries to distort our thoughts, our mind when we worship. We look at the cross. The cross is our victory. Jesus has overcome. He has overcome by his blood. By God has sent his son by his sacrifice. We have been made new. Victory is already ours. We're not entertaining self-doubt. We can't entertain self-doubt. I want to take off. Well, I want to go on where I left off from my testimony. I just want to have some more. So there I was at that church, standing in front of those people. Many of them I didn't know because I was new in that church. Pretty much like this again. And I was looking at those people. As I said, my hand was shaking. I knew the set list. I knew how to play the songs, played them over and over. It's different when you stand here. It's even more different if you just have a mic. You can hide behind a guitar. But if you have a mic and a guitar and you need to lead people in worship for the first time, you've never even led worship, you've never even sung a song in front of anyone, and you're not saved. I wasn't saved at that moment. I was starting to walk a journey with the Lord, but I wasn't saved. And I don't even think they knew it, because I wouldn't tell them. I was too shy. The enemy came. He tried to sow the seeds of confusion. He got that right. He sowed the seeds of distraction. He got that right. I was focusing on an old, and pardon me, but it was an old tiny sitting at the back. Old lady sitting at the back, her glasses. I was looking at her glasses, and it was like she was staring at me like this. And it was like her lenses were like just making her eyes this bigger, and I was feeling it on me. And it's actually not that hectic. It's actually not probably the way it was. That's the way the enemy wants us to feel. That's the way he wants us to think. I'm talking from a worship leading perspective, but it's the same if you sit there. We think about stuff. What are people going to say? What are people going to think when we worship? What do they think we're going to sound like? If I lift my hands, if I raise my voice now in worship, I don't want to, but what are people going to say when I do it? What are they going to think? So I'd rather just play it safe and just stand here. Because it's church. No one can say anything. It's true. No one can say anything. It's only you and God. It's only between you and God. He knows your heart, not us. But there I was standing. Enemy's trying to sow self-doubt. He's trying to, well, it's trying. He did. So this is little Hendrik 8 years ago. And that's when my journey started. That's where I changed completely. That's where I flipped 180 degrees in a matter of seconds. God did an amazing work in me. That's a miracle. It only took me a few years after that just to realize that I felt my testimony is not powerful enough, but the more I thought about it, the more I think that's just how God works. By the way, if you ever feel that your testimony, side note, is not good enough, it is. There's someone there that benefits from your testimony. Never hold it back. So there I was standing, and I said, Lord. Okay, I actually said, Yere. I said, please help me. I think I might have said that out loud as well. But I was standing there. Lord, help me. I'm walking through a valley full of darkness. I'm walking through a valley full of shadows. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what to expect. I'm being judged. I'm being condemned. I'm standing here. I'm going to worship you, Lord. But people are looking at me like, yeah, he's good enough. Who's this little guy? Who is he? It's not what they said. It's not what happened. It's what happened in my mind. That's what the enemy sowed. It's wrong. So there I was standing like David in front of Goliath. I said, Lord, take all of me. Unsaved Christian, unsaved child. Lord, take all of me. But I said, Jere, as jy my vanaand help, ek gee nou my hart vir jou. Asseblief, kom in my hart in. I literally gave my heart there in front of, well, it was, I didn't say it out loud, but I gave my heart to the Lord just before I worship. I only realized that a few days after that. And God, being so gracious as He is, I mean, the awesome God that He is, the compassion He has for us, the love that He has for us. There's another song that I just want to speak about. Good, good Father, we all know it. We all sing it a lot. We know it by heart. I think they should change the words to, He's a perfect Father. He's not going to sing as well, but that's how it feels for me. The perfect Father that He is. He comes into my heart, and I feel like the voice is going like this. You're not good enough. You're not going to be able to do it. You're not going to pull it off. You're not going to play the right chords. You're not going to sing the right notes. You're not going to, and then all of a sudden, quiet. Even more quiet than this. I don't think there were fans in that church. But God silenced those voices. He silenced those voices in my head. He touched my heart and the Holy Spirit, and I get goosebumps every time I think about this. I love the Lord. He's so cool. He's so awesome. He saved me through worship. Yes, it was like at a place of desperation. Some of you might say, He saved me because I was in a place of desperation. That's not real, because you knew God had to do something for you to feel less afraid. So you bargained with Him. I was at a place of desperation. I was at an end of the road, crossroads. I was at a loss for words. I was at a place that I didn't know what to do anymore. The only way I know what to do, what everybody keeps on telling me, everything that I sing the whole time, everything that I hear in worship is, give unto God, surrender to God, trust God, have faith in God. So I did that. I gave it a go. Jesus replied like this. That connection was instant. That fire was in my heart. The way my heart felt when it beat, it felt the first time a few seconds ago that it wants to fall out of my chest. I just want to trample on it and just die. I want to go away. I don't want to be here. That moment, I prayed to God. He touched my heart. My heart beat like this. But I was standing like this. Jesus came into my life. He touched my heart. He touched my life. The Holy Spirit awoke in me. He filled me. He stirred something in me. He stirred a fire in me. And man, who have you felt that fire in your lives? Who have you felt that fire of the Holy Spirit? Awesome. It's the best feeling ever. I knew this is what I want to feel. This is where I want to be. This is what I want to do for God. I started that set. I started playing. The words came. The chords came. The first time I ever sang on a mic, it was very weird to hear yourself there and there and there and there and you're standing here. It's very weird. But God came and He put all that together the only way that He can do it. He took everything. He put everything together. He stirred my heart. He took all that I have, the very little faith that I had, but I gave it to Him. I gave it to Him. I laid it in front of Him. I led worship that evening. The night that I got saved, I led worship for the first time. And since then, God took my weakness, which I've had my whole life. My parents are here. You can talk to them. My brother is also here. You can speak to them afterwards. I'm not lying. And there were times that I suffered as a kid growing up. But I was okay. God still loved me. He gave me grace. I had an amazing childhood. I had an amazing time growing up. But there was this one thing, my nemesis, is being shy, not being able to talk to people, not being able to fully commit to people. God took that away. In an instant, He flipped me around. It was like something broke in me. It's never been repaired. It cannot be repaired because the door that God closes for you, no man can open. Amen. A door God closes for you, yes, amen. Let's just give praise to the Lord because all the glory and honor to Him, not to man. A door that God opens in your life or closes in your life, no man can open. Since that day, 2010, I think it was June somewhere because I was so flustered. I can't remember the date very well. But if I go back, it was somewhere there. I got baptized that week as well. And just my journey with God started. I started hearing His voice. I just wanted to do more of this, more of this, more of this. God has so much grace for us. This is my testimony, but it's a testimony of worship. And I want to get back to worship. When we worship, heaven answers. Heaven responds. God answers to our call. Point number three. Do our lives bear the fruit of worship? This is a tough one for me, and I'm again including myself in this. When we worship, when we stand in worship, do we sing, Jesus, we love You. But at the same time, there's a brother or sister that we hate. At the same time, there's someone that we haven't forgiven because we are too hard-hearted. We've taken offense at a place in our lives, and we're too hard-hearted to forgive a person, a brother or sister. As I say, this touched me as well. We can't stand in church on Sunday morning and sing, take all of me. And then we get home after church. We do the same old sin that we know is not right, that we know is not from God, that we know God has spoken to us about time and time again, yet we still do it. That is not true worship. And again, I'm not picking on anyone. If you feel convicted, I also feel convicted. We're going to lay this down in front of the Lord later. But I want us to start thinking like this. When we worship, what do we do? Are we singing songs? Are we going through the motions? Are we connecting to God? Are we connecting to the Holy Spirit? You see, worshiping God is a place of total and utter surrender to Him. It's a place of, Lord, everything of me. It's a place where you go like this. And there's an old saying that says, is when the world's pushing you down on your knees, that's the perfect place to start praying from. That is worship. Worship is when you've reached that place where you know, I can't do this anymore. It's not me, Lord, it's You. It's about You. Father, it's about You, Jesus. I surrender everything to You, Lord. If there's anything that You want to tell me now, if there's anything that You want to highlight in my life that I must deal with, if there's anything that I need to give to You now and worship, Father, show it to me now. Show it to me now, Jesus. Point number four. Before I go to point number four is no longer slaves. I don't know if you showed it there. It's another song. But when we look at worship, and I just want to refer back to David. David is awesome. I love David. I would have loved to meet that guy. Man, I read Kings cover to cover. I read the book of Kings fairly recently, but I studied David because God put a word on my heart just to study David. That guy was a worshiper. Think, Jesus obviously is my favorite worshiper. There's no one that can compare to him. But David is close. David is amazing. If we look at David, again, where they carried the ark into the Jerusalem, when the ark came back, the ark was stolen. We all know the story, but the ark came back to Jerusalem, and David, for some reason, was naked, but he was dancing when he saw it. He was full of joy. He was dancing. He was twirling around. He was naked. He was not afraid. He was giving it his all because he knew it's for Jesus. He knew it's for God. He knew it's for the one, for the maker. The glory of God is here. The glory of God is in this place. David didn't mind. David surrendered. Just go read the Psalms. Psalms are amazing. If you're ever reading the Bible and you feel stuck in a rut and you don't know what to read, you're following plans and this, and you just feel you're not getting what, just go back to the Psalms. Go back to the basics. Psalms are beautiful. We go to point number 4, no longer slaves. We are no longer slaves to fear. And again, it's a beautiful lyric. We all know this song, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Man, that song. When it came out, it's a couple of years now. I think it's 3 years or so, two years. That song really just, I don't want to say it took worship for me to a next level, but it just showed me that I still know so little. That song just broke it up for me. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm a child of God. You split the sea so I could walk right through them. My fears are drowned in perfect love. I just love how only God can do that. It puts that peace in you that no man, nothing, no principalities, nothing of this world can take away that. God is amazing. You see, when we worship, we need to come to terms with the fact that we're worshiping God, we're connecting to the Holy Spirit. He sees all, He knows all, He hears all. We've spoken about this. He knows our burdens. I mean, God knows everything. But at worship, in worship, when I say we're no longer slaves to fear, we need to surrender that to Him. We need to be bold. We need to stand in front of our Goliaths in worship. Worship is warfare. We need to stand in the trenches and we need to know the cross is there. The cross is our victory. I am not going to take anything that the enemy is throwing at me. I'm not going to be distracted. I'm not going to be influenced by self-doubt, Lord. And I'm not going to take these burdens. Lord, show me the burdens. Show me what you want from me in worship. I'm going to lay it down at your life. I'm not going to be a slave to fear any longer. Just look at the account of Paul and Silas in the jail. Again, it's a famous story. I love that story. They were severely flogged. They were hit. They were tortured. They were put in jail. They were shackled. What did they do? What did they do? They worshipped. They worshipped the Lord. They sung hymns. And we know how that story ends. Point number 5, God is for us. I just want to say that out loud. God is for us. He's for you, He's for you, He's for you, He's for me, He's for every single person here. When we worship the Lord, we're drawing near to Him. He says in His word, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. We seek His face, we seek His presence. And just as intercession, I look at the beautiful prayerometer over there and it's growing. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. People are praying. When we come together praying, same as worship, when we come together, we come in agreement. We come in praise and worship, we come in agreement. We know the Lord is here. He's in our midst. He hears our call. He answers. God is for us. When we worship, we bear our souls, our hearts open to Him, trusting Him fully, completely. We are so vulnerable in worship. That's where we need to be. That's the place where we need to get at when we worship. that vulnerability. Again, it's nothing of man. No man can look at your vulnerability. You can't look at your heart. It's God. Worship is to God. Full worship. Do we worship God in spirit and in truth? We need to think about this. Trusting Him fully. We sing, and I said this earlier, we sing Good, Good Father. I still feel I need to change that lyric. He's a perfect Father. Good is for me. He is good. He is a good Father. I mean, He loves us. He's perfect. Nothing lacking. If you read Psalms 95 verse 7 again, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. God is for us. If our God is for us, who can be against us? He says, I've not given you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of a love, power, and a sound mind. God wants us to be victorious in worship because He has already overcome. He does not desire for us to fail. He does not desire for us just to stand here and sing and go through the motions as a worshiper. And again, I'm not just referring to musical worship. I'm referring to life. Because being a Christian is a life of worship. It's not a Sunday morning 10 to 9:30 to 11 thing. It's not a Wednesday evening small group thing. It's more than that. Worship is a life. He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. I want to end off with a quote by Charles Spurgeon. I got the quote this morning. It's beautiful. And it says, some go to church to take a walk. Some go there to laugh and talk. Some go there to meet a friend. Some go there their time to spend. Some go there to meet a lover. Some go there a fault to cover. Some go there for speculation. Some go there for observation. Some go there to doze and nod. I haven't seen it in this church. Praise the Lord. The wise go there to worship God. Sure. Amen. It's powerful. The wise go to church to worship God. And church, as I say, I'm focusing on worship this morning specifically. Church is many things. But when we worship, do we truly worship in spirit and in truth? Are our hearts connected to God in worship? I just want to ask the band to come up so long. And this morning, I just feel strongly that God just laid it on my heart, and I just know this morning through worship as well, not just worship here, worship at my house, my quiet time, God just shows me this. I really encourage you, if you worship, go worship God. Find a place in your house. Find a small place. Find a quiet place just for yourself with no distractions. Put earphones in your ears or just put the sound on. Worship God. Just listen to Him. Seek His voice. Seek His face. This morning, God showed me. There's two things I need to focus on this morning. Two types of people. And I want to ask us to stand quickly. I'm sorry if you came to church today and you're getting a lot of exercise now. Some of you are sore from the run on Friday at the school. As we stand in this place of worship, I want to make an invitation, and I want us all just to close our eyes now. No one is looking around. No one is looking around. Close your eyes. First of all, I just want us to come to that place of surrender. Prepare your heart. Turn your heart to God. I feel these people in here, in this church, in this building. are still dwelling around. They haven't received the Lord in their hearts. They still need to take that faith journey, that faith step. As I say, we keep our eyes closed, hearts focused, minds focused, renewed to God. There's people in this church that I feel haven't made that step yet, haven't taken that step yet, that faith step. God is calling you now. God is calling you this morning. Do not let this moment pass. If you haven't received the Lord yet in your heart, raise your hand quickly and put it down. Quickly raise your hand and put it down. Put it down. Well, thank you for that hand. Just raise your hand and put it down. You don't have to keep it up. Thank you. I see your hand. Just feel you need to press in. If God is talking to you now, if your hearts turn to Him, open your hearts to Him. Listen to Him. Raise your hand and put it down. In faith. Take that faith step. Be prepared to have your life changed. Let me give some more time. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And those people that raised their hands and put them down again, I want you to come to the front after this service, not now. But we're still going to do something corporately together in worship. The second invitation that I want to make is, if there are people here that once worshiped God the way we spoke about this morning, in spirit and in truth, fully 110%, that were plugged into Him, but you feel the last few years, the last few days, the last few minutes, that's just completely stopped. There's leakages in your connection. Power's coming out. If you feel you're being distracted, if you feel there's stuff blocking you, if you feel there's stuff in your lives that are hindering you from connecting fully and truly 100% in worship to God, I want you to raise your hand. I don't want you to put it down though. Be bold. I want you to raise your hand. If you feel there's a blockage, thank you. Hands are going up. God is awesome. If you feel there's something and God has stirred something in your heart during this service this morning, raise your hand now. Don't be afraid. Use this opportunity now. Many hands going up. I'm putting my hand up in faith. There's always something that is distracting me. If you feel convicted, if you feel that's you now, take that step. Keep your hands raised. We raise our hands in faith, in praise and worship to God. Yes. Hallelujah, Jesus. We praise you. We praise you, Lord. Jesus. I want us all in faith just to pray this prayer. And this is for those, keep your hands raised. And if there's more hands, raise them. If you have that stirring in your heart, raise your hand. Do not be afraid. This is your moment now with God. I want us all just to pray this. If you don't want to pray it out loud, just pray it in your heart. But I encourage you, let's just proclaim this together as a family. You could read after me. Father in heaven, I declare in this place that you are my Lord and Savior, the one true King. I believe that you died for my sins. I ask forgiveness for my sins. And I ask that you enter my heart. Thank you, Jesus. And for those of you that are keeping your hands raised, and if you still feel convicted, raise your hands. Just say the following after me. I declare in your name, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you have not given me a spirit of fear, but one of love, one of a sound mind, a spirit of power. I pray for a spirit of worship, and I declare that you have overcome. Let's say that out loud. And I declare that you have overcome. Yes. And that all my fears are swept away. In Jesus' name, we sing amen. So So as we just remain in this place, remain your hearts focused to God. Hands lifted. Hands lifted in prayer. Hands lifted in praise. Hands lifted in faith. Yes, lift your hands. We're going to sing this next song, and I want us just to sing it in faith. The song is Great Are You, Lord. We're going to sing it. We're going to worship God. We're going to connect to Him. We're going to ask for the Holy Spirit now just to stir our hearts. We sing in faith. Thank you, Jesus. For those of you that raise your hands and that need prayer, please come to the front. And if there's any of the...
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.